Last week, we began a lesson looking at the subject of Job and the problem of suffering. And when you look at the book of Job, you find that there certainly is suffering in the world. And there are three questions that are asked and answered, either directly or indirectly. And those are the same three questions that come up over and over again, even today. Dave mentioned in his prayer sickness and suffering and people that are having troubles today. And in the scripture reading that Michael had there in 1 Peter chapter 4, Christians are going to suffer. And the same three questions come up over and over again. And fortunately, we have God's Word to help us to answer those questions. Number one, why am I suffering? Number two, how do I react to that suffering? And number three, what good benefit can come from suffering? We live in a world of suffering. We may have experienced that ourselves or know of someone close to us who is experiencing that. Whether it's sickness or disease or maybe it's some war or violence, we hear about that on the news. David prayed about that as well. Natural disasters or whatever the case might be, we might have family members that we're taking care of or dealing with that have illnesses and other kinds of things. And we ask these same three questions. Last week in our lesson, we looked at God's Word to help us answer the question, why? We want to know why. And we took God's Word and we answered that question. This morning, I want us to look at the question of how. How do I react to suffering? We just sang, does Jesus care? Knowing that Jesus cares, that helps us to respond in a right way. Knowing that He doesn't give up, we're not going to give up. So how do I respond to suffering? How do I react to that? How do I go through that in my life? Really, this lesson is going to be in two parts. We're going to answer the question this morning, how do I react to suffering? And then this evening, how do I help others? Job had to react to his suffering. That would be this morning's question. But then his friends show up and they try to help him. That's the other side of the coin. So how do I react to suffering? And then how do I help others? What can I say and do that is right where I don't end up being like the friends and causing problems? When you turn to the book of Job, if you'll turn with me now to the beginning of the book, of course we understand that Job is suffering in the beginning of this book. And the first thing we read about the how, or how does he react, the first reaction that we read about is that he bows down and worships. And so he reacts in a very good and positive way. A number of different reactions could be had when we go through suffering, anywhere from good to bad, positive to negative. And Job chose to respond to this how. He chose to respond in a good way. And he worshiped God. That would be surprising to many today that somebody, the first thing they would do is worship God. The first thing that often people today do is they cuss or they go do something wrong or they have some problem. But he worships God and he does not charge God with foolishness. He doesn't charge God with acting in a way that has no purpose or reason to it. So, is that how I react? Do I remain faithful? Do I continue to worship God? Do I continue to be strong or do I just quit and give up? Am I more like his wife's approach? How did she react to all this? What was her way of dealing with it? Well, her way was, well, just curse God and die. Or my version says, renounce God and die. Just throw up your hands and quit. That's another way that someone can react. Different people react differently. Some react the right way, some react the wrong way. We have to answer the question, how? How do I react? We know that there will be suffering. Because of sin in the world and some other factors that we looked at last week, we know that there's going to be that in the world. The second question we have to ask is, how am I going to deal with that? Do I get closer to God, or like Job's wife, just give up? Or like Satan suggests in chapter 1 and verse 11, if you touch him in this way, in this suffering way, he will renounce thee to thy face. He'll just give up and quit. How do we react to suffering? There are different ways that are suggested today. There are different ways that are practiced today. Everybody suffers. Some people choose cynicism, which is this: I get up in the morning and, yeah, that's the way it's going to be, and there's nothing I can do about it. And I'm just going to live any way I want. I'm cynical. I'm burnt out. I don't care anymore. It's just the way it's going to be. Others turn to self-pity, and they wallow in self-pity, and woe is me. And it's just terrible life, you see. And I'm down, and I'm going to bring you down, and everybody else around me. Others, some Greeks, had this attitude. They were stoic. I'm not going to show any emotion. I'm not going to show any pain. I'm not going to let it get to me. And nothing touches me. Nothing affects me. When really it did, but they try to put on this fake and this facade. And so we have this word stoic, where someone tries to go through suffering by saying, well, it doesn't affect me. And you're weak if you allow it to affect you. And you're childish and weak and immature and quit being a baby. You know, you just need to suck it up and be a man, you see. And don't show any emotion. So there's that approach that some have tried to take. In Eastern religions, Hinduism, Buddhism, there's this idea of karma. So you get up each day and you suffer because that's just the natural thing. Because in a former life, some bad things happened. And now you're just reaping what you sowed. Okay? And you've been reincarnated and you're coming back and you're meeting your karma, you see. You did something earlier and now you're just reaping what you sowed. And so you just get up each day and you naturally accept it because of something you did earlier in your life or in a former life. There are some who deny that pain and suffering is actually real. There are some religions that say, well, it's not real. There are some religions, like our Pentecostal friends, that say that suffering is due to demon possession, and what we need is a faith healer to come in and get the demons out of the church. And that's documented as their belief. Others say, well, it's in the stars. And according to their astrological sign, that they're suffering now at this time because that's the way the stars are lining up. And on and on and on. There have been many ways that men have tried to deal with the problem of suffering, but we want to turn to God's Word. We don't care about karma. And, you know, cynicism and demon possession and all that. We want to turn to God's Word. We want the truth from God's Word. That's how we know that we can truly respond in the right way. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 27 and verse 43. I find it interesting that the Jews had, we looked at this last week, one belief that they had was that you suffer because of your sin. And so, remember John chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? The Jews had some faulty thinking, just like people today have faulty thinking about things. This is kind of interesting. In Matthew chapter 27 and verse 43, when Jesus is hanging on the cross, he trusteth on God. It was clear during Jesus' ministry that he trusted in God. He prayed to God. He said things about God that clearly showed that he trusted in his Father. And so the Jewish leaders knew that. He trusteth on God. Let him deliver him now if he desireth him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Okay, let's see if God really likes his son. If he does, he'll come down here and deliver him from all this suffering. They had this idea that if God really likes you, he will just take you right away from this problem that you're in. Look at that carefully. If he desireth him. Let's see if God really desires this son who he's claiming to be. He'll just come down and miraculously take him away from this cross, this suffering. Well, the problem with that is God left him hanging there while all along loving him and desiring him. They had a faulty thinking, and that is that if God really likes you, he'll just immediately take you away from this problem. And so it's sort of a test. Let's see. And that was the whole point. He trusteth on God. Let him deliver him now. Let's just see. Let's just put this thing to a test and see if God really desires him. That's how some people react too. Okay, let's just see if your God that you believe in will come down here and help you out. We need to understand that that's completely wrong. God did not come down and miraculously remove him. He hung there for the salvation of mankind. It was a part of God's plan. It has nothing to do with, let's see if God desires him or not. And if he does, then he'll immediately take him away. That's faulty thinking. So there's all kinds of things like out there floating around, and we need to respond in the right way. So I want to turn to God's word like we did last week to answer the why question. Let's turn to God's word this morning to answer the how question. First of all, I prepare for suffering in my life by developing a very active and positive relationship with God's word. The closer I get to God, the better I'm prepared to deal with any suffering that I may be in my life. I've got to get my Bible open. I've got to be reading and studying and meditating on the Word of God. Turn with me to Psalm 119. So when it hits, and it will hit, then I am prepared to respond in the right way. I'm not going to go away from God. I'm going to be close. It's going to be like a lifeline. It's going to be like an anchor, and I will respond in the right way. Psalm 119, 161. Princes have persecuted me without cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy words. He's going through problems, but what keeps me sound and what keeps me reacting the right way? A close relationship with God's word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I hate and abhor falsehood, but I love thy law. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous ordinances. Great peace have they that love thy law, and they have no occasion of stumbling. For I have hoped for thy salvation, O Jehovah, and have done thy commandments. My soul hath observed thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have observed thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. What helped the psalmist to get through problems? A close relationship with God's word. Seven times a day, do we do that? Oh, I'm busy. Well, maybe we need to cut back. In Matthew chapter 7, look at verses 24 through 27. We find that the foolish man who built his house upon the sand, when the storms come and beat against it, it falls. And you think about the storms of suffering that come and beat against us, we need to have a firm foundation. And the wise man, was Jesus said, is the man who hears these words of mine and goes out and does them, is the wise man who builds his house upon a rock. So when the suffering comes, we need a firm foundation, and it's going to be hearing and doing God's word. And our young people need to grow up with that habit. And as we take that with us when we get older, we continue that. Open Bibles. And not just to get our Bible class lesson, but to meditate on and to gain encouragement from. Go pick up your Bible sometime during the day and just read a few verses and get some encouragement from it. Do that. Not just to get a Bible lesson, not just to, you know, to listen during a sermon, all those things are important too, but just for personal strength. Open Bibles. We need that. There's a time and place for TV and things like that, but that is not what is going to give us the strength to get through. So I develop trust in God by opening up my Bible. 166, I have hoped for thy salvation, O Jehovah. There was a trust in God, and it came because I'm close with God's Word. Number two, I need to develop communion with God through an active prayer life. I need to get some quiet time and go to God in prayer and turn off all of the things that make noise and all of the gadgets and all of that and just get some time to pray to God. When Paul was struck with his thorn in the flesh, what did he do? He went to God in prayer. Now, he got a different answer than what he wanted, and that's a completely different subject. But what did he do? He went to God in prayer. I went to God three times in prayer. In Philippians chapter 4, turn with me there. Paul is writing this book from prison now, from prison, Roman prison. He's not on vacation in Rome. He's not sightseeing. He's in prison, and Paul went through some suffering in his life for the cause of Christ and as an apostle. But what does he say? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your forbearance be made known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. In nothing be anxious or worrying, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, that's what we need during suffering. How does it come through? Prayer, we need some peace. We need some help with this. How do I react? I've got my Bible open and I'm reading it as much as I can, and I keep the lines of communication open through prayer. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. Our heart and our thought needs to be guided and helped and protected as we go through these times. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Why did Jesus suffer in part to die on the cross for our sins? But we also learn another reason. So that He can be the example and the high priest who's there to help us. Chapter 2, verse 18, just after talking about suffering, in that He hath Himself suffered, being tempted, He is able to aid or succor them that are tempted. And the point is that we go to Him, we have a high priest. Chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, we can go to Him. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched. In other words, we have one that can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Let us therefore draw near with boldness. Draw near, not run away. Suffering is not going to cause me to run away from God, curse God and die, quit. It's going to cause me to draw near. I'm going to have my Bible open and I'm going to draw near. I'm going to be praying and I'm going to draw near. The devil wants us to react and respond in a way that we just get God out of our life. We're going to respond the right way. We're going to be drawn near through an open Bible and open communication through prayer. We draw near with boldness under the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. And so we need help. So whether it's the sickness or something emotional, whatever it is, we need help. Turn with me to the book of James. The world will tell you all kinds of ways. Well, here's how you react. You react this way, and you react. No, we're going to turn to God's Word, and we're going to react in the way that He wants us to react. James chapter 5, verse 13. It's a pretty easy one. Is any man suffering? Okay. Is any man suffering? Well, then what do I do? How do I react? Is it all that stuff that we looked at earlier? You know, the karma and all that? No. Is any man suffering? Let him believe in karma. Right? Is that what the verse said? Is any man suffering? Let him quit. No. Is any man suffering? Let him pray. You back up to chapter 1 and verse 5. We pray for wisdom. Lord, help me get through this. Help me say and do the right things. We're going to talk about this tonight with regard to helping others. But pray. And keep our Bible open, you see. And go to God and cast your care on Him. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Casting all of your anxiety or worry upon Him. Will suffering give us anxiety and worry? Absolutely. But we need to, like Paul said back in Philippians 4, all of those things are going to be let go in prayer. The same thing here. Casting all your anxiety upon Him because He careth for you. How do we do that? Through prayer. And so develop trust in God by reading His Word. Develop conversation, if you will, communion with God through prayer. And number three, develop close spiritual family and Christian friendships by being an active member of the local church. Because they're the ones here on this earth in real time, right next to us, who can say and do things that will encourage us. Do you know how many people out in the world don't have that? They're suffering, and they may or may not have physical family to talk to them, but they don't have any Christian friendships, and a lot of times they just go downhill. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. The threefold cord is not easily broken. Can two walk together unless they be agreed? And he goes on to say that if one falls, the other can pick him up. And so we have Christians that will help us. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 26. What does the text say there? 1 Corinthians 12, 26. Paul is trying to emphasize in 1 Corinthians 12 that you're one body and that you all work together. And you don't need to say, well, I don't need the hand or I don't need the foot. I don't need this part of the local church. No, we're all together. And in 1 Corinthians 12, if one member suffers, what? All of the members suffer with it. We'll talk about that more this evening. Romans chapter 12 and verse 15. Weep with those who weep. Galatians 6 and verse 2. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So they have something going in their life that is difficult. We're going to be there to help them shoulder that. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14, support the weak. Admonish the disorderly. Support the weak and the faint-hearted. And Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, one reason why we don't forsake the assembling is we want to be there to stir up or provoke unto love and good works. And do you remember when we went through the book of Hebrews, do you remember that we pointed out different places where these brethren were suffering? In the same chapter, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 32 through 39, they were suffering. Chapter 12, verses 5 through 13, they were suffering. And in chapter 12, verse 12, lift up the hands that hang down and the palsied knees and make straight paths for your feet. We may need to be there for the fellow member of the church to lift up their hands that hang down. So, assembling together. Obviously, there's different reasons why we assemble. And that's another lesson. We assemble for worship and other kinds of things. But 1 Corinthians 12 teaches us that one reason for the assembly is to be there and help the other members of the body. And so, we're going to remain active as a local member. So when it comes time for that help and that encouragement, we're there, they are there to help us. And I'm going to develop a positive attitude, and this is one of the hardest things to do, I'm sure. But I'm going to prepare for this by staying joyous and positive. The proverb writer talks about how that a happy heart is like medicine. What do people do when they are going through suffering? What's the first thing they do? They go to the doctor and get some prescriptions. And not being a physician, I'm going to be very careful with this point, and that is that someone may physically or physiologically need something. And so I'm not going to say, well, you don't need to take any medicine. I do think, however, that there are a lot of people that take pills that don't need to, and it could be cleared up in other ways with a right relationship with God and so forth. But I do know what the Bible says, and that is that one medicine we need to be taking, a cheerful heart, is a good medicine. We need to be thinking about the joyous things. It doesn't make the suffering go away in the sense of, well, it immediately clears up the cancer, or it immediately clears up this physical problem. No, it's still there, but we're going to focus on the joy. Look in Acts chapter 5, verses 41 and 42. Acts chapter 5, verses 41 and 42. Here are the Peter and John being persecuted in the temple. They therefore departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing. Well, wait a minute. They've just been thrown in prison, and they're being threatened by these men. Are they completely ignoring that? No, they're not ignoring reality. They're not acting, well, that didn't happen. They're focusing on what? Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. They recognize that they're suffering, but we have been put in a position to be worthy to be the Lord's apostles and to suffer for His name. And that's an honorable thing. What are Paul and Silas doing in jail? Acts 16:25. What are they doing? Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. They're singing at midnight. Are they oblivious to reality? Are they oblivious to suffering? No, they understand it. But they're focusing on the good. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, 2 Corinthians is a book that where the Apostle Paul talks about his apostolic ministry and his defense of that and how often he was persecuted for being an apostle. And so there's different things said in 2 Corinthians where he's talking about how that he and the other apostles were mistreated. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, our light affliction, keep in mind that he was beaten, right, stoned, and he calls it light. In comparison to the big picture, that's the point. It's just light. It's light. So we're right in the thick of this suffering, right in the thick of it. Try to back up and look at the big picture and compare to what we're going to have in heaven. This really is light. Our light affliction, which is for the moment, it doesn't last forever, worketh for us a more exceeding eternal weight of glory. This is what's more important. Chapter 7 and verse 4. Great is my boldness of speech to you. Great is my glorying on your behalf. I am filled with comfort. I overflow with joy in all our affliction. Wow. Because he kept things in perspective. And that's hard to do sometimes. I overflow with joy in all our affliction. So as hard as it is, we've got to get our eyes up and out of the particular situation and look at the big picture. So Philippians 4, written from a prison, verse 4, rejoice always. Turn with me to James chapter 1. And this may be one of the hardest things to do. This may be an area where we need to grow and mature It might be easier for us to open up our Bible. That was our first point. It might be easier for us to pray. That was our second point. It might be easy to make sure that we're showing up at the local church. That was the third point. This one may be the harder one. But we're going to remain positive about the blessings that we have in Christ and the reward that is coming at the end of the road. Look at James chapter 1 and verse 2. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into manifold trials, knowing that the proving of your faith worketh patience. I'm going to remain happy because I know that this is for my good. Verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he hath been approved, that is, passing the test of remaining faithful, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord promised to them that love him. So what keeps us happy? Ignoring the suffering? No. Acting like it's not real? There's some religions that say it's not real. It's only a figment of your... No, it's real. And it hurts and all of that. But you keep it in balance with the big picture. It's light compared to this crown of life that I'm going to get one day. And so I'm going to remain joyful through this very difficult thing. I react in different ways. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 11. Do you remember in our last lesson we talked about that suffering may come from my own actions? Number two, suffering may come from Satan. Or number three, suffering may be used by God to discipline me. Coming back to that thought now, if it is something that I've done, I need to learn from it. As a dog that returneth to his vomit, so is a fool that repeateth his folly. If I'm suffering because of something that I've done, and that happens all the time, you know, news stories, somebody does something that's wrong and they're suffering for what they did, and it's pretty clear that that's why they're suffering. Well, if that's the case, then I need to learn from that and not repeat that. You know what just really bugs me? These stories in and around Middle Tennessee of this guy, the third DUI, and he's out running people down. But you didn't learn from the first one? You didn't learn from the second one? You're not going to learn from the third one? No, I want to drink. If I'm suffering, and if I've caused other people to suffer, I need to learn from that. And I don't need to repeat that. And by remaining steadfast, and I want to serve God, and I want to follow God, I'm going to learn from my mistakes. And I'm not going to do that again. I've learned my lesson. I suffered for it. I was the cause of it. I'm going to take my licks. But I'm not going to do that again. That needs to be my reaction. Number two, if the suffering that I'm going through is from Satan, and sometimes we may or may not know if he's behind it, but if it is, I'm going to remain steadfast so as to frustrate any purpose or plan that he's made with God up in heaven. I'm not going to let him win. And that was basically Job's approach. I'm not going to curse God and die and do what the devil wants. I'm not going to let him win. And so James chapter 5 verses 10 and 11 says the patient endurance of Job. We're not going to let Satan get the upper hand. And then last of all, if suffering is from God and it's something that he's wanting to do in my life, I'm going to remain faithful so as to fulfill that purpose. In Acts chapter 5, we read this earlier, that they were suffering for the name of Christ and they counted it all joy that they were worthy to do that. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. God allows us to go through suffering. Sometimes he uses that to chasten us. We know that from, or discipline or mature us. We know that from Hebrews chapter 12. And if he's doing that with us, we're going to remain faithful. And it will simply fulfill that plan that He has for us. Romans 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or anguish, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, in other words, suffering? Even as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, or things present or things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're going to remain faithful to Him. Ultimately, and as we come to the close of our lesson, we want to place our trust in God. That's our ultimate reaction. How do I react? Ultimately, the overall way is to continue to trust in God. I asked Michael if he would read 1 Peter chapter 4. Let's come back to that reading, and I want to reserve this one last verse at the very end. Michael read verses 12 through 16, the suffering as a Christian. Look at verse 19. Wherefore then, let them also that suffer, Christians, according to the will of God, commit their souls in well-doing unto a faithful Creator. The bottom line is to all of this, however I react, it's going to be in trust to God. I'm going to have my Bible open. I'm going to be praying. I'm going to be worshiping with the brethren. I'm going to have a joyous life. All of it boils down to I'm going to remain faithful. They commit their souls in well-doing unto a faithful Creator. I'm just going to put my hands in God's hands. I'm going to keep doing what He wants me to do. That's how I'm going to react. Because look at chapter 2. That's exactly what Jesus did. We follow Jesus' example. Jesus, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 23, when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, threatened not. Well, how did He react? What did He do? He committed Himself to Him, God, that judgeth righteously. Didn't Jesus even say on the cross, into thy hands I commit my spirit? I'm just going to trust God, do what God wants. Isn't that what we find at the end of the book of Job? After God comes and talks to Job about how that He has control over all of His universe, in Job chapter 42, the first few verses, Job says, you're right. Whatever you can do, whatever you want to do, it's all in your power. What is that? He just learned to trust in God. And so ultimately, that's how we react. And then finally, I want to close with this point. We react with trusting, obedience, and faith in God because we want to leave this world setting the right example for others. Can you imagine if Job would have left this world cursing God and dying? Can you imagine? Wow, ending on that note. How would that have helped us? We've got a book now that helps us. And we've got James 5, 10 and 11 that helps us. Because of how Job reacted. But if he were to say, yeah, curse God and die. Wow. We need to think of ourselves as Job. And we're here. We're living a life. And we need to react and respond in the right way. And when we do, we set the example for the next generation to take up the torch and keep living faithfully. How did Stephen go out? How did he leave this world? Stephen left this world under a pile of rocks, right? He left this world under a pile of rocks. Would you say that that's suffering? Yeah. He left this world under a pile of rocks, but while it's going on, he's looking up into heaven. That's a great example. He's praying to Jesus. That's a great example. And he's saying, forgive them. Boy, that's a great example, isn't it? That's how you want to go out. That's how I want to go out. So the very moment that he's suffering, he's going to act right and live right and say right and pray. He's down there praying while they're pelting him with those rocks. and the very last thing, calling upon the Lord and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. That's how he went out. And so, regardless of what might be going on in our life, regardless of the kind of suffering or the level of suffering, we're going to go out trusting in God, praying, being right with God, living right to our dying day. And we're going to go home and receive that crown of righteousness. And we're going to set a good example for others who are left behind. I hope that that has helped. The how do I react? Let's react in the way that God wants us to react. There may be someone here this morning that needs to respond to the gospel. The invitation is extended at this time for you to step forward and let your needs be made known. Someone who may need to come back to the faith or someone who may need to respond for the first time, we can assist you and study with you and talk with you about being right with God. We face suffering at different points in our life and in different ways and in different levels. Let's respond in a way that is right and good and that keeps us faithful to God so that we can be with Him for all eternity. If there's someone here that needs to respond to the gospel, why won't you come as we stand and sing?